Hello and welcome to today's program of Study the Word. My name is Chuck Bartlett and I am the minister for the River Ridge Church of Christ that meets in Newburgh. We're glad you've tuned in today and we hope that you can participate in this weekly program by submitting any Bible questions that you might have. And we will deal with them on this program. At the conclusion of today's lesson, we will provide you with contact information so that you could send in your question or enroll in a free home Bible course. Just send us your mailing address and we'll get that first lesson out to you. If you enjoy studying the Scriptures, this is a short six-lesson course that can add to your knowledge. I need to jump right into today's program because we have a lot of material to cover. What question that we are going to deal with today? How can we understand the Scriptures? I'm afraid that there are just far too many people that are being led blindly because they have never really learned the overview of the Bible. And why is that so important? Well, it's almost like putting a puzzle together. If you had a puzzle and you took one piece and you asked somebody, "What is this?" They would say, "I don't know. Do you have a picture of the box where that piece came from?" And you show them the picture and they'll say, "Well, yeah, now I know where that piece goes. It belongs right in here." That's kind of what we have when people get in their cars and they go to an assembly somewhere and the preacher asks them to open up their Bible. If they're not familiar with the Word of God, they might be able to turn to the index and find the book and then eventually the chapter and the verse. But if they don't understand the overview, the big picture, they're really at a disadvantage. What we're trying to do with this program is help people to be able to handle God's Word so that wherever they go, they can know if the person that is teaching them is telling the truth or not. And how you go about doing that is getting the overview. What we are going to do with our next four programs, in four programs, our goal is to explain the whole Bible to you. You say, "Well, Chuck, how can you explain the whole Bible in four half-hour lessons?" Well, obviously, we're not going to go verse by verse, but what we are going to do is give you the highlights. And once you have that highlight and you can see that timeline, you can see where everything fits, and that way you can rightly divide God's Word. I'll also add that we have this program or this series I'm talking about, these four lessons, in printed format. So if you would like a copy, by all means, just request that and we'll mail it out to you. Now here's how we're going to do this. In today's program, we're going to look at the book of Genesis. Just the book of Genesis. It's very important that we understand that. Next week's program, we're going to cover Exodus through Malachi, the whole rest of the Old Testament, in a half-hour program. In our third program, we're going to discuss Matthew through Revelation. And in the fourth class, we're going to notice the main differences between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And folks, once you get those four lessons under your belt, you'll have a better, clearer understanding of God's Word than most religious people who've gone to services probably their whole life who have never received the overview of the Scriptures and don't really know how they all fit together. So let's just jump right into today's lesson, part number one of the Bible overview, the book of Genesis. Now my approach today will be basically telling you what you would have read if you read from chapter 1 all the way through the book of Genesis. I'm going to tell you the events, how they unfolded, and some interesting things that you need to know, especially when we get to part 4. All right. When we open up the book of Genesis, many of us are familiar with the first two chapters that deal with creation. How that God created all things in 6 days and he rested on the seventh. On the sixth day is when he created man. Well, what we find is that it wasn't very long before God gave man laws in chapters 2 and 3. And he expected man to do what he told them to do. For example, in the second chapter, verse 15, they were told to keep the garden and tend to it. This was before sin even entered the world, which is a great lesson on how important work is. So God gave them responsibilities. Well, when we get over to the third chapter a little bit later on, we find and read where man breaks God's law. We call that sin. By definition, sin is transgression of law. And we find there that there were consequences. Without consequences for our sinful actions, then the laws would mean absolutely nothing. And they told that they would die, and they died spiritually, which what death is. It's a separation. And when we sin, it's a spiritual death. We are separated from God. Well, as you continue on reading through the book of Genesis, we get into the sixth chapter, and we read about the increase of sin. Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden. Cain killed his brother Abel. And that's an interesting story there in the fourth chapter. But more and more people transgressed. And it got to the point that every thought and imagination of man's heart was evil continually. And this grieved God in his heart. And what he decided to do was to remove the sin from the face of the earth, also all sinful men, and he caused the flood. But we read in the sixth chapter where God saw a man by the name of Noah that we're familiar with and told him to build an ark. And Peter described Noah in the New Testament as a preacher of righteousness. So while the ark was in preparing, Noah tried to persuade people, but they just wouldn't change their ways. And so the flood came, and the only people that were on the boat was Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives, and of course the animals. And we read about that in Genesis chapter 7 and 8. In chapter 11, we read about the Tower of Babel, and what that's about. This is after the flood, and how God wanted man to scatter over the earth, but the people decided to stay in one place and work together, build a tower that went all the way up to the heavens. And this is not what God wanted. At that point in time, there was only one language. The Bible doesn't tell us. But when they were building that tower, God went down and confused their languages or changed them. So that's when different languages began. And when that occurred, people were scattered as God commanded. And you can read about that in the 11th chapter of Genesis. Now in the 12th chapter, we're introduced to a very important Bible character by the name of Abram. Well, we know him as Abraham. In chapter 17 and verse 5 is when his name was changed from Abram to Abraham. Now what makes this very important? Now I wasn't going to stop and read a lot because I wanted to give the overview of the scriptures, but I think there's something very interesting that we need to be aware of in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And let me read this. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, I will bless you, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Within this passage are three promises that are made to Abraham. Through his seed, what? He would become a great nation. Two, he would be given a special land. And three, through him all nations of the earth would be blessed. That's very important, all nations. Now, is it that important that we really know about this? Well, let me just do this once. I want to jump ahead, and then we'll get back to our overview. But jumping ahead to the New Testament, to the book of Galatians. Now, this is way after Jesus comes. Jesus goes back to heaven, and the church is established. And here's a letter that was written to a local congregation. And there was something that these brethren were reminded of. And I want to read it to you in Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 28, where Paul said to them, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ," now get this, "if you're Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." What promise? Promise that was made way back here, that through Abraham, all nations of the earth would be blessed. Now that's going to be very important, and I'm going to bring that up from time to time as we go through our overview, but we must move on. So we have Abraham given these promises. Again, remind you, nation, land, and seed. Keep those in your head. so that you can just always remember them, because it's very, very important to keep in mind if you're going to understand the overview of the Bible. But keep in mind that God gave Abraham these promises when he had no children. He was old in age. And even when Sarah heard about it, she laughed because she had no children. And they were up in years, almost 100 years old. Sarah was. But God eventually blessed them with a child by the name of Isaac. And we can read about that in chapters 21 and 22 and over in chapter 26. Now, God asked Abraham to go and sacrifice him to the Lord. And Abraham did it. And people thought, well, man, that was rather cruel of God to ask Abraham to offer his only son. Let's understand something. God never asked anybody to do anything that he wasn't willing to do. Remember, God sent his only son. Now, Abraham's son didn't die, but the Father in heaven, his son did. That was Jesus Christ. But getting back to Abraham, he went to offer his son, and when he was about to kill him, an angel of the Lord stopped him, and he didn't have to sacrifice his son. But we need to understand something about Abraham. He had such great faith that he knew God's promise was true. And as he talks about in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, Abraham wasn't worried because he knew that if he had killed his son, he thought that God would just raise him back from the dead, because God's promises were true. He knew that through his seed, he'd become a great nation, and that they would receive that land promise, and that all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Well, Isaac grew up, and he was given the same three promises by God. What were those promises? Nation, land, and seed. Isaac eventually has a son. He had others, but a main character is Jacob. And Jacob, as he grew older, God gave him those same three promises. And you can read about that in chapter 25 of Genesis and chapter 28, 13 and 14. Same three promises: nation, land, and seed. And Jacob ends up having 12 sons. And we read about that. And as you go through the book of Genesis, that's where things kind of change now, because now the stories focus on one of Jacob's sons. Because Jacob had a son by the name of Joseph, and he favored him over the other brothers. And you can begin reading about that in the 35th chapter of Genesis. And Jacob even gave Joseph a coat of many colors. Joseph had dreams. He had dreams that his father and his brothers would one day bow down to him. And of course, this angered his brothers. They were jealous of him. They hated him. And they wanted him dead. Because as we read through the book of Genesis, we find one day where Jacob had told Joseph to go check on his brothers. And when his brothers saw Joseph coming from afar, they said, "Here comes that dreamer. Let's take him and kill him." At first, they threw him down a pit, but then they saw a caravan of people going to Egypt carrying slaves. So they took Joseph out of the pit. They sold him as a slave to be taken to Egypt. But they were smart. Before they did that, they took Joseph's coat of many colors. They killed an animal, put the blood on it, took it back home, asked their father, "Whose coat is this that we have found?" And they had their father think that Joseph was killed by an animal when he wasn't. So what happened to Joseph when he went to Egypt? Well, remember, Joseph was a godly man. It wasn't his fault that his father gave him a special coat. It wasn't his fault that he had these dreams. It wasn't his fault that his brother sold him as a slave. But he continued to trust in God even when bad things happened to him. When he went to Egypt, he was purchased by a man by the name of Potiphar. Potiphar was a very powerful man, but he trusted Joseph. He trusted Joseph with all his goods. And we read about that in chapter 39. And Potiphar trusted Joseph, and he could see that Joseph was a good man. And good qualities can be seen by other people. Unfortunately, there was a problem when Joseph was purchased by Potiphar, and that was Potiphar's wife. Every time Joseph came near, she tried to get Joseph to sleep with her, but she would not do that because Joseph knew that that was wrong and he would reject her. In the 39th chapter, we read the story where Potiphar was out of town, and when Joseph went in to serve his wife, she grabbed him and Joseph just fled, and he left her holding his coat. And of course, that angered her a great deal. And in the 39th chapter, when Potiphar came home, she accused Joseph of attacking her. Potiphar believed his wife, and Joseph was put in prison. Again, another bad thing that happened to Joseph when it wasn't his fault, but he didn't turn his back on God. He continued to trust in God. Well, while Joseph was in prison, and we can read this in the 40th chapter of Genesis, two other individuals were put in prison. One was a butler, and one was a baker to the king. And they both had dreams, and Joseph interpreted their dreams. And in the interpretation, he told the butler that in 3 days he would be restored, and unfortunately for the baker, he said in 3 days you would be killed. And he just simply asked the baker to remember what he did. When we get over to the 41st chapter, we find that the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh, had a dream, and nobody could interpret that dream for him. And that's when the baker remembered what had happened to him in the past, and he mentioned to the king that when he was in prison, he had a dream, and the person who interpreted it correctly, and it came true, and Potiphar sent for him. So Joseph was called to stand before the king. And one of the dreams that the king had, and he had a couple of dreams, but one of the dreams that he had dreamt was he had visioned these seven skinny cows and seven fat cows. And the skinny cows ate the fat cows, but they didn't get any fatter. And Pharaoh asked Joseph, what does this mean? And Joseph said he knew exactly what it meant. It meant the land is going to produce 7 years of plenty, followed by a 7-year famine. And Joseph admonished the king that to put somebody in charge that he could trust, that during those 7 years that they would store all the food they could to get them through the lean times that were going to follow after those 7 years of plenty. And he chose Joseph. And he gave Joseph his signet ring. He was second to the king. And look at all these wonderful things that are happening to Joseph now. He continued to trust in God, and everything was working out for him. And of course, you read that in the 41st chapter. Well, after Joseph rises to power, we soon read about the famine that hit the land. And it even hit the land of where his father and brother lived. And his brothers were sent to Egypt. Jacob sent them there because he heard that there was food to be purchased. And so Joseph's brothers come, and over time Joseph has changed. And when the brothers come, they don't recognize him, and Joseph doesn't tell them that he's Joseph, but he recognizes his brothers. And when his brothers come, they all bow down before him. The dream that Joseph had when he was living with his family about his brothers bowing down to him has come true. But he still kept it a secret that he was their brother. And he told his servants, Joseph did, when they give you the money, put it back in their grain sacks. And when they were going home, the brothers found the valuables, the money, so to speak, and thought that well, they better go back or they're going to think that they stole it. So they went back, and that's when Joseph accused them of being spies, and they said they weren't. And then Joseph said, you have a brother, Benjamin. I want you to go and get him and bring him back. The brothers didn't want to do that because they said their father had already lost one son, and he wouldn't be able to survive if he lost another. So even at that point, they're thinking that Joseph is dead. Well, they eventually go and get Benjamin, and they bring him back. And after crying a number of times in secret, Joseph finally reveals himself to his brothers. At first, the brothers were afraid because they thought Joseph would punish them, but he reassured them that God was with them. Now, let me just stop here for just a moment and make this point. You know, so often we run into some hardships in life, but we don't see the big picture. Do we realize that if Joseph was not sold as a slave, then that means he would not have been in Egypt to interpret the dream of Pharaoh? And if he wasn't there to interpret the dream, there would have been no food for people including his own family. His own family would have starved to death if these bad things hadn't happened. And so the lesson for us there is that sometimes bad things happen, but something good might come out of it in the end. And we always need to continue to trust in God. Anyway, let's move on. Well, when Joseph reveals himself to his family, the Pharaoh tells Joseph, tell your father to come and all the rest of your families to come and live in the land. And so Joseph invites them to come, and he comes, and they choose to live in a very good part of the Egyptian land. And we read about that in chapters 45. And as Jacob was traveling, you might want to keep in mind that Jacob is called Israel. You read about that in Genesis chapter 32 and verse 28. Very important verse to remember. Jacob's name was changed to Israel because God's people in the Old Testament were called the Israelites. And we might wonder, where did that come from? Well, that came from the fact that here it is, the father of the people, his 12 sons, they all came and they grew and they grew and they became a great nation while they were in Egypt. And you can read about that in chapters 47, verse 27. They became a great nation. And you know what that is, folks? That's promise number one fulfilled that was given to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. Remember, through your seed, you'll become a great nation. You'll get a promised land. And through your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Now, God didn't say that Abraham was literally going to be alive when they became a great nation or when they received the land. No, he said, through your seed. And that's what happened. And so here it is that God's people, the Israelites, as they are called, they grew and they grew and they grew, and they became a great nation, a great body of people, while they were in. Now, unfortunately, what happens is the Pharaoh that knew Joseph passes away, and another Pharaoh is appointed that doesn't know Joseph. And at this time, the Egyptians have become fearful of the Israelites because they have become so large, and they were afraid that they were going to become their enemies and turn and fight against Egypt. So under the pressure of the people, or even the fact that the Pharaoh wanted to do it himself, the new one, they decided to make all Israelites slaves. Well, obviously, we need to understand that this is not the promised land. But they're going to receive a promised land. And how are they going to receive a promised land when they're in Egyptian bondage? Well, that's when we get into our next week's lesson. You see, part two is going to deal with how they received that promised land, and that would be the fulfillment of the second promise that was made to Abraham. And once we finish that, then we need to deal with that third promise. And that happens in the New Testament when we read about Jesus. And we're going to put all the pieces together, folks. And I want you to be patient, because this is very helpful. To spend this much time talking about just this one book of Genesis was very important, because I want you to get that timeline. And so what did we talk about? We'll remind you of it. We talked about creation. We talked about the sin of mankind. We talked about the flood. We talked about Abraham and the promises that were given to him. And then we mentioned his son Isaac, and then Jacob, and then his 12 sons. And focused on the one, which was Joseph. He's the key for the fulfillment of that first promise of becoming a great nation. So if somebody were to ask you, how did Israel become a great nation? You could basically say, well, it all happened because of Jacob's son turning on one of the sons, Joseph. He's sold, he's in prison, he rises up to great power, he becomes second to the king. And his family is invited to come there, and they grow and grow, and they become a great nation, all because of Joseph. But let's keep in mind, because of God. God gave the promise. God never lies. And so, that's part number one. Next week, we're going to see the fulfillment of the second, and that is, how do they get out of Egyptian bondage? get out of that and get to this promised land that God had mentioned to Abraham. And that's what we'll look at next week. And so we hope that you'll tune in for the next 4 weeks to get this overview. Remember, the third part will be that third promise, which is covering Matthew through Revelation. And then we'll notice the differences between the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's not that hard, but the overview is very important to keep in mind. And there's something seriously wrong when somebody says that they have been a child of God for many, many, many years, and you ask them, what were the three promises made to Abraham? And they say, I don't even know what you're talking about. Then there's something amiss there, simply because that third promise is what's connected with our salvation that's mentioned a number of times in the New Testament. And people need to see that link and what it's all about. Folks, I mentioned at the beginning of the program that we offer a 6-lesson home Bible study course. It doesn't matter if you're a novice or you have been studying the Scriptures for many years. You will find this Bible study profitable. You can work at it at your own speed. And if you send us your name and your address, nobody's going to show up at your door. We're just trying to encourage people to open up their Bibles and study the Word, as this program is entitled. And when you finish your first lesson, we provide you with a self-addressed stamp. You send it back, we check it over, and we return it to you along with your next lesson. And as we stated, there's only 6 lessons involved, and you can submit names of your friends and relatives who you also think would enjoy this home Bible study course. If you're in the area, we'd love to have you come and visit with us. The River Ridge Church of Christ assembles every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock for Bible study, 10 o'clock for worship, and in Sunday afternoons at 4. We have a midweek Bible study Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. And if you're in the area, please stop by and visit with us. You'd be our honored guest. Our location is at the corner of State Street and Sharon Road. You're going to see Sharon Place. We're number 27. And you can see our signs, the River Ridge Church of Christ. The parking is around back. You're going to see Don's Cleaners. There's a daycare center on one side. We're around back. And we'd love to have you come and be with us. So if you get a pen and paper handy, in a moment we're going to put up a slide that gives you our contact information. There will be a website. There'll be an email address. We'll provide you with a phone number. By all means, phone anytime. I leave my cell phone on at all times. And if you happen to get a busy signal, you probably wanted to go right to voicemail, you can leave the question there, and we'll deal with it on the program. I want to thank you for taking time to be with us today. May it always be our desire to study God's Word. And just before we close, I do want to mention once again that the program that we have discussed today is in a printed format. If you would like a copy of the Part 1 Bible Overview, and of course all the rest, there's going to be 4 in all, you can request that, and we'll mail it out to you absolutely free. So thank you for being with us. My name is Chuck Bartlett. I'm the minister for the River Ridge Church of Christ. Have a good day. Now here's our contact information. Thank you.